Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, the Creator of the heavens and the earth. Amen. Genesis chapter 2, we read a few moments ago about Abraham being tested by God and offering up Isaac. And thereafter, God saves Isaac. It says, the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven. Said, by myself I've sworn, says the Lord, because you've done this, and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will indeed bless you. And I'll multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And this is one of the instances in the Bible where Abraham's descendants, the saints, are likened to stars. This is actually a pretty common theme. In fact, we find also in Daniel, in the last chapter of Daniel, chapter 12, it's written there of the resurrection, that many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt, and those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. And one more, Jesus says of the kingdom, he says, then the righteous will shine like the sun, which is a star, remember, the nearest one to us. The righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. So we're likened in the Bible by God to stars. And I'd like to talk with you tonight about how we are like stars and how God has prepared for us a great destiny. Because God spoke to Abraham how many years ago? About 4,000 years ago. He made a promise that Abraham would have descendants as the stars. And we are the fulfillment of that promise. So we've been destined from ages ago to be stars. And guess what, too? In the ages to come, we are destined to shine like the stars in heaven and to be like the stars for multitude. So these are some pretty fantastic things we're going to talk about today. And I'm troubled to find a physical illustration or story to help you to understand things that are so beyond immeasurability as to what God has prepared for you. Now, if I were to preach to you of earthly things, we could certainly fill this congregation quickly, couldn't we? If I all of a sudden today just developed a new diet where you could lose 30 pounds in 30 days and I started preaching that, I could get this place full every day, all day long. I could probably have 200,000 people in here over the year. But we have 20 today because I'm talking to you of eternal things. And our sinful nature wants to say, tell me a word about exactly my life in this very instant about how, you know, I can make my life just a little bit better, or I can look younger or sexier or get my vibrancy back or something like that. But I'm talking to you today about better things than those, about eternal things. And what I'm hoping is that your minds will just let them expand into unseen, invisible, amazing promises of God. For it's written in Corinthians, it says, no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But we have the mind of Christ, is the next line. So in other words, the world has no idea what I'm talking about today, nor do they want to hear anything about it. But we have the mind of Christ. We are beginning to grasp things that are no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor heart conceived. And now we know in part, then we shall understand fully. Now we look through a mirror dimly, then we'll see face to face. But I'm telling you about things that are going to happen to you. Because you were destined long ago to be Abraham's children through faith, and you are destined to shine like the stars in heaven in glory and multitude. So let's talk about your destiny, about what's going to take place, and hopefully expand your minds just a little bit today about God's power and his promises. We're like the stars, it says. We'll shine like them, we'll be like them in multitude, we'll be like them in immeasurable things. We talked a couple weeks ago about the sun, the nearest star to us. How hot is the sun, do you remember, on the surface? About 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit. At its core, it's about 27 million degrees Fahrenheit. Pretty powerful. Can you even grasp that? Is this beyond your understanding?
Yes.
Deneb, which is the star in the summer triangle, is 100 to 150 times the size of our sun, which burns at 100,000 times hotter and brighter than our star, the sun. And yet God says you're going to shine like these in glory. The trouble for us is we think stars, they're just these little twinkling lights far away. We don't think a whole lot about them. We'd rather go see fireworks at Disney, right? But when God is saying you're going to shine like the sun and the stars, he's got this in mind. He knows how powerful they really are, and he has destined us for glory and for strength through Jesus Christ. Listen to this word in Ephesians 1. Paul prays that they might know what is the immeasurable greatness of his power in us who believe, according to the working of his great might, which he accomplished in Christ when he raised him from the dead and made him sit at his right hand in the heavenly places. That we're supposed to know the immeasurable greatness. That word immeasurable occurs at least three times in Ephesians. That word is hyperbalo in Greek, which means, balo means to throw like a ball. Hyper means to throw beyond. And so what kind of power is at work inside you and inside your heart and inside your being, your spirit today through Christ? It's a power that is beyond throwing. You can throw your imagination as far as you can possibly think, and this is beyond it in strength. Think about that story that happened yesterday in southern Florida. I think it was what part of Florida was it where the gunman came in to shoot the head of the school board? And he came in and he was about as far as I am to Alice right here. And he fired two shots at him, missed him. And the guy's testimony, the head of the school board's testimony was, the Fox News reporter said, well, you sure were lucky, he was a bad shot. And he said, no, he wasn't a bad shot. God's grace saved me. And he said, I always knew God was with me. I just didn't know God was standing in front of me. In between us. This is the immeasurable greatness. He said, God stopped that bullet. They didn't know where it went. He couldn't miss at this range. But, you know, we have an immeasurably great and powerful God. If I try to describe the space shuttle to my dog Barnaby, he looks like this. If I explain to him that I'm going to give him a cookie, he looks like this. And really no difference because he's not able to grasp it. I'm trying to explain to you today things that you can only see through a mirror dimly. You can only grasp in part today. You will not understand this message. I'm preaching it. I still don't grasp the fullness of what I'm preaching about the immeasurable greatness of his power that's at work within us now and the immeasurable greatness of the glory to which he has destined you in Christ. When he said, I promise that you will be shining like the stars. Your face will shine like the sun in the kingdom of your Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. So if you want to imagine these things today, just think on our stars. Think on our galaxy. Think how great and marvelous Deneb is, shining at 100,000 times the strength of our sun, which burns at 27 million degrees Fahrenheit. And these are just physical stars. The God who created all these by a word has the power to just speak it into existence, has so deigned and loved you as to say, I want you to be my sons. I want you to be called my daughters. I want you to be sitting on my throne with me. This is the God with whom we have to do. And this is that to which you are destined, which will take place in time. So let your mind expand on that today. The glory, the immeasurable greatness of that power in us. I think we're also like stars for multitude. That's a beautiful promise. We have, 20 or so here today? If our preaching on diets, maybe we'd have a lot more. But you are those who have come here because you've believed in the things of Christ. And God promised that Abraham's descendants would be as many as the stars of heaven. Remember, he took him outside that one night and said, come on out here, Abraham. Let's go out. Come on over here. Come on. Take a look at those stars up there. Can you number those? Abraham, so shall your descendants be. You will not be able to number them, so great will they be. And here's a whole bunch of seeds I see right in front of me today, his offspring. But this is what it says in Romans. Check this out. Romans 9, Paul says, not all who are descended from Israel belong to Israel, and not all are children of Abraham because they are his descendants, that is, physical descendants. But through Isaac shall your descendants be named. This means that it's not the children of the flesh who are the children of God, but the children of the promise are reckoned as descendants. Maybe some of you are actually physically descended from Abraham. Possibly. But it doesn't matter whether you are or not, because you are reckoned as descendants. Why? Because you share the same faith that Abraham had. For it says in Romans chapter 4, no distrust made Abraham waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced, watch this, you've got to pay attention to this one, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That is why his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. But the words "it was reckoned to him" were written not for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be reckoned to us who believe in him that raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was put to death for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Why was Abraham reckoned as righteous? What was his faith about? He believed God was able to do what he'd promised. Do you believe that? Amen. That the God who was able to go like this and put the universe into existence by his word of power is also able to raise you up from the dead, to forgive you your sins by his grace in Christ. Do you believe God is able to do what he's promised? Yeah. Nothing's too hard for this God.
Amen.
And he saved you in Christ. And you have ears to hear, and you've believed that. You've become Abraham's children. And then we see, how many are these children of Abraham? Romans chapter 7 says, John says, then I looked, and lo, in heaven, a great multitude which no man could number, from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And what were they all saying? Salvation belongs to God who sits upon the throne and to the Lamb. Can you see that today? How about this? Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
Salvation belongs to him. All praise to him who sits on the throne. Yeah. And of course, when you're glorified, you'll be saying that with a little more oomph, right? But you are as many as the stars of heaven for multitude, and you are destined for this great company of saints in a kingdom of light. I was in Tintagel, England one time, which is on the coast, the Cornwall coast of England. We thought it'd be fun in those days to go look for a ghost. This is where supposedly King Arthur was conceived by Uther Pendragon. And I was with two travelers, and we went down to this rocky outcropping on the water, and we were going to walk through this cave, through which went through the mountain to the other side. I'd been there during the day, but here I was at night, and we were just trying to spook ourselves, you know, 19-year-old kids. But I walked into this cave, and at day I could go through it, but at night it was just absolute pitch black, nether gloom darkness. I couldn't see this. That's the kingdom from which we've been rescued spiritually. Because it says in Colossians that he has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. If I could come over and pick up Leah and just carry her from one side to the other and drop her off, that's what God's done for us. He's picked us up out of the kingdom of darkness and he's transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, which is a kingdom of light. Now, Jesus is called the bright morning star, right? James Cephas and John were able to go on the Mount of Transfiguration, and they were rubbing their eyes, and they looked, and whoa! Is this the Jesus we were looking at before? Because his face was transfigured, and he shone like the sun. And that's how we're going to shine, because we are in him, and his light is in us. So if we're in a kingdom of light, how should we live? Well, it says in 1 John chapter 1, chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "He who is in the light and hates his brother is in the darkness." He who says he's in the light and hates his brother is in the darkness still. "He who loves his brother abides in the light, and in it there's no cause for stumbling. But he who hates his brother is in the darkness, walks in the darkness, doesn't know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes." So if you are sons of light, if you are already stars, and if you are destined to shine like stars in the kingdom to come, then we ought to be living in the light now, right? We should put away from ourselves anger, wrath, clamor, slander, foul talk, gossip, and things like that, and put on the things of light. Let me give you a little test. Name it, light or darkness. Ready? Which is this? Fear.
Dark.
That's dark. Joy.
Light.
Mercy.
Light.
Hatred.
Dark.
Peace.
Light.
Jealousy.
Darkness.
Generosity.
Light.
Anger.
Darkness.
Love.
Light.
You know which ones was which, right? You got them all right. That's 100%. These are the things we ought to put on as people who are destined. Look at Michael here. You're a good-looking guy. All right? All right? But if you were to see Michael in just a couple of years when our Lord Jesus comes back, you're going to be like, "Whoa, Michael, I didn't know that was you." Because his name means like God, right? Michael means like God. That's my middle name too. Well, guess what? When what we are destined for is to be like God and shining in his splendor, and you know, you may all be good-looking folks now, but guess what? On that day, whoa! So if that's who we are destined to be by God, then we ought to be living as sons of light today.
Amen.
And then the last thing in talking about stars is, how long have they been up there? You know, we don't really know. Scientists think, you know, 13.7 billion years. I hold to a six-day creation by God in here, so I'm not looking at it as being so long. But regardless of that, the wonderful thing about being stars, it says in Daniel 12, you're going to shine like the stars for ever and ever. So if you want to take 13.7 billion years, as the scientists say, for how old the older stars are, they don't know that. But if they did, they don't. I mean, that is nothing. God says, you haven't even begun to think about things. Do you realize how we're only seeing through a mirror dimly right now? We're only seeing knowing in part right now. We got to expand our minds. Okay, everybody come on. I'll show you how to lose 30 pounds in 30 days. Oh, everybody wants to come hear about that. But guess what? Open your minds to what God is, who he is, what he's promised us, and whose son you're supposed to be. And you're being called to be. You're being called to be the son, the adopted children of the God who is able to look at Deneb burning 100,000 times brighter than our sun and go, "Deneb, come into existence." There he is. That's your dad. Amen.